Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, being the artists of our lives. Before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of Lucis Trust, and the Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey also wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The creative ability of the future will emerge on a relatively large scale in the realm of creative living, and not so much in the realm of creative art. Creative living produces beauty and harmony in the outer life, so that others can see the achievement. This seems to suggest that to live creatively has a broad application, not just creating artistic works. Can you say more about that?
Yes, it's an idea that comes from the spiritual teaching, not only of Alice Bailey, but I think it's a concept that's deeply embedded in Buddhism, maybe in many spiritual traditions, that whatever your life circumstances are, your approach to them and the way you regard them and your response to them are an opportunity to create something positive and beneficial to the soul or not. And that's the challenge of dealing, particularly when circumstances are difficult. When things are really going beautifully, swimmingly, that also is an opportunity to create something, and not necessarily for the good. If we take wealth and fame and so on for granted and exploit it and are exploited by it, we're not living very creatively. We're being manipulated by those circumstances too. But generally, when people are facing hardship or difficulties, then they start asking the question, why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this? How do I get myself out of this? And that's the challenge that becomes potentially full of creativity. If you look at it, our present circumstances represent our karma, what we've inherited in earned merit, you could say. Sometimes the circumstances we're dealing with might trace back to previous lifetimes, and we have no recollection of them. We can't always know. But I think it's fairly safe to say that our present circumstances reflect the state of our consciousness. So that implies that all that we need in order to move forward in consciousness is available to us, and that it's present in our particular circumstances now. We're at the right point where we are now to move forward.
Yes, you have to remember that the soul has placed you in this life, in your present lifetime, for a specific purpose. It's placed you in this particular family group, or in this particular country, in this particular nationality, whatever. And for a good reason. It's not by accident that you're here, where you are. So, and you come in with all of this baggage that you might have created in previous existences. And quite often the soul does it deliberately, I think, just to balance out and create a more harmonious existence for the existence in the in the physical world. So it we have to start where you are with what you have and work from there. And you have to accept it. And you don't have to just stop and not do anything, because the challenge is to pick up where you are and to move on.
I think most people have a tendency to focus on the past, which evokes feelings of pride or regret, or to focus on the future, which then evokes attitudes of hope, anticipation, or maybe dread. But really, all we have is the present. That's all we've got, the present moment. And when we accept our present circumstances, our limitations, our opportunities, all of it, as just right, that somehow liberates us to see the way ahead. It isn't necessarily a negative or passive attitude of giving up. It's simply saying, I accept this, because somehow, perhaps for reasons I can't understand, this is right for me. This contains the milieu in which my soul, my consciousness can express itself. And if you start living that way, it can really be quite transformative. In fact, I heard recently about a technique that's been talked about on television quite a lot, of wearing some kind of a rubber band around your wrist and using it as a reminder every time you complain to snap the band so that you become aware of how much you complain and gripe about life. Well, I haven't had the courage yet to put one on. No, but it's a nice technique, because it makes people more mindful of how much they gripe about their circumstances.
Yeah. You might end up with a very sore wrist.
Yeah, it does for so, yeah.
Yeah. It's just making you more aware of your attitude and of what whiners many of us are.
Well, I know, and I think so many think that, why is this all happening to me? It's so unjust. And
the response would be, why not you?
Well, yes, why not you? I mean, why somebody else? So, because you have probably set certain energies and forces in motion that have created the situation in the first place, and that's what we have to realize, that so much of what we create in the world does lead to problems. It does lead to difficulties for us, because it may be a creation of some kind based on desire for something imagined that you want to be, and it just isn't right for you to begin with. So you end up going through a lot of pain and suffering because of it.
I don't think, though, that circumstances that most of us would consider unfortunate necessarily are punishment. I'm thinking of a friend I had who became nearly blind in her old age. She was a wonderful person and deeply spiritual. I don't think it was punishment that she lost her vision, because, in fact, she was an artist, so you can imagine what a blow that must have been for her. But she accepted her circumstances with a very positive attitude and with a real desire to understand the cause of it and the significance of it. That isn't the same as saying, I've been bad and I've lost my sight, this is my punishment. I think she found that she was developing different resources as a result, more intuition perhaps. Someone who loses their hearing, perhaps they learn to hear the voice of the silence, the voice of the soul on an inner level. We don't know, but I guess my point is, we shouldn't regard these problems as punishment. I don't think a benign and just God deals in punishment. but he seeks our expansion of consciousness, and sometimes unpleasant circumstances can be very constructive that way.
Yes, I'm thinking, the classic case of Beethoven.
Yes.
Who lost his hearing, and he wrote some of the greatest music he ever wrote after he lost his hearing.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't hear a note of it, but
not
he could
in spite of it, but perhaps because
of it, he could hear it on his inner ear.
Yeah.
And he knew what it sounded like. Probably better than the actual performance, but so it is a challenge to make use of all your other senses and rely on those inner resources of the soul to carry you through.
Mm-hmm. It's a challenge for Americans because our Declaration of Independence promises us the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So we are raised to think that life guarantees our right to pursue happiness. And yet happiness can be quite superficial and, for most of us, probably quite indulgent of the personality, not necessarily expressive of the soul's goals. So we think, if we're not happy, something must have gone wrong. We must have done something wrong. We must have made a mistake because our own Declaration of Independence says we should be happy. But spiritually, I think there's another way to look at this. We aren't necessarily going to go out and cultivate crises or tests and challenges. Of course, we prefer happiness and comfort. But we can say when these crises and tests come, that they have in them the germ of something potentially constructive. They have something they can teach us. And Alice Bailey says there are basically three classes of people, of temperaments, that fall into different views on this whole premise. She said there are those who are unconsciously gaining experience, but they're so engrossed in the results of the experience that they remain unaware of the inner objectives, the inner significance of what they're going through. And then there are those people that are dimly awakening to life and events, knowing that they can't escape from them, but they are aware slightly that there is something they can learn from those experiences that will enrich their lives, might intensify their ability to be sensitive, might develop some quality or character trait. And then there are those people, rare ones, who are awakened to the purpose of experience and are bringing, she says, to every event an intelligent power to extract from the happenings to which they are subjected some gain to the life of the soul. I love that idea, that they live with the understanding that everything offers some gain to the life of the soul.
Absolutely, and that's the whole purpose behind the work that we do in the world. We have to always bear in mind that it is the soul at work. It is not this outer personality that really matters that much, because the personality has to reflect the inner light and love of the soul into the world. And that's where all the beauty of creativeness comes in. That's when the energy of love and light begin to circulate throughout human consciousness and throughout the creative capacities of human beings, that the light begins to shine throughout the world. And that's really the objective of the soul.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, being the artists of our lives. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available for $19, free shipping and handling, if you mention that you heard about the office offer on Inner Sight. So what you need to do is send a check or money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's check or money order, $19. Ask for Ponder on This. mention that you heard about it on Inner Sight. Send the check or money order to Lucis Publishing, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you need to get in contact with us for any reason whatsoever, you can do so on our toll-free number, which is 1-866-695-8247. Many people who call us up would like a general package of information and describing what Lucis Trust is, and probably one of the primary questions that we have is Lucis Trust a religion? And no, it's not a religion. It's a group of people who are, the commonality involved is that they all read the books of Alice Bailey. And many times there are meetings, conferences, seminars where they talk about the values within those books. So once again, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866 New York Lucis. Think of 1-866 NY Lucis, New York Lucis. All of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website also, so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. I'm listening to the show, and I can't help but relate it to my own experience. I don't want to get personal, but basically, years ago, I went through an extremely difficult experience that went on for months and months and months. And let me see if I got this right. What I'm looking at in this show is that at the end of that experience, now looking back, I learned so much spiritually. I changed so much. I wouldn't want to let go of that experience for any amount of money, but I would never want to repeat it. But I'm a very different person in a positive way as a result of it today. Mm-hmm. Is that more or less what you're saying when you talk about this?
Yes. How many times have you heard someone who dealt with a really serious illness, for instance, and that, of course, for any of us would be something we would never choose, and you would hope to get over it and put it behind you, and yet they'll say it was the best thing that ever happened to me. It's quite an astonishing statement. For example, a heart attack or cancer, of course, those are awfully severe tests. And yet people come out of them saying it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it transformed them. It opened up something in their consciousness. It revealed some kind of tenderizing influence. I think pain is the great tenderizer. And when we suffer, when we go through real pain, it tenderizes our heart. It brings mercy. It brings patience. Understanding of the suffering of others, those are beautiful lessons, and we can only be grateful for them. And even though the circumstances that provided us those lessons are atrocious, somehow we have to train ourselves to learn more through joy and happiness and not be so selfish about it.
Not be so selfish, yes. I think it's that's kind of the key to the release of all of this energy of the soul, is get just a little self out of the way and realize that you're not the most important thing in the world.
What?
And just stand back and let these soul qualities come through you. And maybe that's what was released in all this pain that people have when they undergo this kind of suffering from, say, a heart attack or some kind of catastrophic illness, that the pain kind of releases so much. It gets the little self out of the way, and perhaps you understand the preciousness of life and how creative life can be all the more because of that experience. So it does, as you say, tenderize one, but it allows that soul energy to come through that might not have otherwise.
Mm-hmm. There are other examples like that. People who lose their job, that would certainly be a crisis, and unfortunately it's happening too often today. And yet many people will look back at such an event and say, I never would have made the change in my life if that hadn't happened to me. And they can look back and see that they made a major change in the direction of their life, perhaps got new training, made a major move, took up a whole new line of work, and that it led to something better, more constructive, something that they felt more a member of, a contributing member of society as a result of having lost the foundation of their job. People who go through a severe disillusionment or betrayal, which are extremely painful, will say later on, looking back, it's as if I woke up out of a dream. And they see life and people more clearly as a result. These are all positive examples of dealing with very unfortunate circumstances.
Right. It's the great testing and lessons that we learn in life. And as I said earlier before, I think it a lot has to do with where the soul places us in a particular lifetime. It's quite often the early part of the life is a recapitulation of where you were before, of what kind of similar circumstances you went through, at least in terms of the qualities. And then after a certain age, in your 20s or so, you begin to branch out and work beyond that stage and into something entirely new. And all of this is coming, this great potential is coming from within you. Mm-hmm. And you have to kind of reach down and realize that's where the creative capacity lies within each one of us.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because coming back to that idea I quoted from the books of Alice Bailey, that there is no circumstance that does not offer some gain to the life of the soul, she said that we have to extract from our circumstances, from the happenings to which we're subjected, some gain to the life of the soul. And I thought about the word extract. Why does she say we have to extract? So I went to my dictionary, and it's as if we have to be a miner or a dentist, because both terms apply to what you call going within, looking for the gem that's embedded in the solid of our personality. Deep within every one of us, there's a gem, a nucleus of spiritual being that is masked by the personality, masked by our ego, by our sense of separateness from all other living beings, by our ambitions, our fears, our pride, our inferiority, all of that. But deep within us, there is this gem of spiritual vitality. And the books of Alice Bailey, I think everyone who studies them would agree, are very precise in their use of language. So extract means to pull out forcibly, like a tooth. You have a tooth abstracted. Or it means to obtain by much effort from someone unwilling, as in the payment of a debt. And it's also a solution of essential components from a complex material. Maybe that's the best definition. The essential components that are distilled out of a complex material, out of all the complexity of our personality life, all the paraphernalia of living as a human being in the world, the soul is trying to identify just a few inherent components in a particular lifetime, a capacity to love, a capacity to endure, a capacity to seek out the light. Those are simple things that the soul is trying to awaken.
Right, and that goes to the very heart of the purpose of the soul in the first place, is to create in this world a world that radiates light, a lighted world. And when all souls can cooperate and work together in creating that light and bringing through that gem of light and the quality of that light, then you will see a much more lighted world. And that depends, that comes about by building relationships, because beauty comes with harmonious relationships. And when there are harmonious relationships, then the energy of love and light will flow more freely, and that's when the light begins to shine.
I've always loved a statement from an old mystic of the 14th century, Julian of Norwich, a nun who had herself walled up in a convent so she could focus her mind on God and nothing else. And she wrote a journal, which is very well known in mystic circles, in which she said, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." And those words feature in the fourth of T.S. Eliot's four quartets, which is called Little Gidding, which, interestingly, he wrote in 1942 in the depths of World War II when things looked so dark, so negative, so hopeless for many people. And he was living in England where things were really bad. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. It expresses the fact of spiritual positivity, no matter what's going on in the life, that there is something good working out, whatever our circumstances are. To moan and complain is pointless, and it also works against what the soul is trying to achieve.
Right, all that moaning and complaining, it just sets up barriers.
Mm-hmm.
It sets up emotional thought forms,
resistance
that get in the way to this spontaneous flow of the energy of the soul.
The soul is working in a productive way, little as we might realize it in difficult times, but it, from its point of view, it is working towards something more positive, more productive. And if we can look for that and mine it for all it's worth, we can transform our circumstances. To me, it's a very creative approach to life.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available for $19 as free shipping and handling if you mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. So what you need to do if you'd like to take advantage of the offer is send a check or a money order, $19. Mention that you want to get the book Ponder on This by Alice Bailey and that you heard about it on Inner Sight. So once again, free shipping and handling if you mention that. Send check or money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.